Otherworldlyculture.com.
They're here.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Otherworldlyculture.com presents Dead On Movie Reviews.
Salutations and mutilations, you're listening to Otherworldly Culture Presents Dead On Movie Reviews. Tonight, we will present horror movie reviews and lively debate here on OtherworldlyCulture.com and on future select Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join our live chat at that time by clicking on the live shows link on the OtherworldlyCulture.com website, or you can join us here on Twitch at Otherworldly Culture. Okay, come on. There we go. I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, coming to you from the land of lakes and landfills, beautiful and smelly Muskego, Wisconsin. It's my honor to introduce the Faculty of Fear panel presenting tonight's lectures. And we start with Tracy DeLeon. She has been in over 11 films, including a film that now can be seen everywhere this year, Family Possessions. She's completed A Nun's Curse, which I believe is also on Amazon Prime. She is now a good friend of the show with numerous appearances here, and it's a thrill to have her on the show again with us tonight. Here is Tracy DeLeon.
I'm so happy to be here, Tim.
Thank you. And next, I gotta move a window. You know how long these intros sometimes get. We'll try to be merciful here. Peggy Christie is an author from Michigan that has written books like Hell Hath No Fury, Dark Doorways, and contributed to the short story collections Eerie Tales, Myths, and Mayhem. She is also proud to be the owner of the lamest scream ever recorded on Scream at the Screen. You will never live that down. You can check her out at themonkeyisin.com. That's all one word. It's Peggy Christie.
Hello.
Woo! And last and least, little Mikey Exler is back again as the denizen of the dismal, the purveyor of the putrid, that exciting exclaimer of glorious gloom wrestling up from his stony tomb. He's the monster of the mad, ghoul of the glad, and that sack of mumbling, moaning pus that barfs out baloney. He's one, and there are many, but he's our very own. He's the panel purveying provocateur, Coach Michael Exler.
Thank you, Tim, for that always long and semi-accurate.
You love it. You love it. Don't even pretend. You know you love it. Hey, we have got such a great show tonight, but I thought before we get things started that we take a second, because two of the movies that are on tonight are coming from the same franchise, and that's the same movie franchise that's been making the news, and that would be Halloween. So I set up, I found this out on the interwebs. Thank you, Rabbit in Red Radio. They put together this nice graphic. But this is the Halloween universe. Now, we don't like this right here, this alternate universe. That is not true, but Halloween 3 is a little bit separated from the other Halloweens, and I'm sure Peggy's going to go into that. This is the original up here. See, aren't I doing this just like John Madden? I know you're impressed. Now, the one that we're going to be doing on Dead on the Bases in 2 weeks is this one here, Halloween 4, because the star of that movie is actually going to be out at Horror Realm with us.
Yeah.
Yes?
It'd be more like Madden. We need some X's, man. not just those.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's these. We're not talking about these. Nobody ever wants to talk about this one. Let me cross that out. Let me put another X through there. This one's pretty bad, too. Get rid of that. I'm not a fan, but some people are. That one. And then down here is Halloween 2018. There we go. Ah, there we are. And Halloween Kills. Oh, goodness. Not enough room. Halloween Kills. Have you ever tried writing with a mouse? This is not easy. Is down here. That's the one that Mike will be talking about. And thank goodness we're not talking about this nonsense over here at all. That's also the Rob Zombie stuff. That's not what we're talking about. So it is a confusing timeline, but we'll be talking about this film and Halloween Kills, which is 2021, and just opened in movie theaters and streaming everywhere. Everybody understand? Fantastic, yeah. Because no. It makes no sense to me the way they
the
do this.
The X's helped me a lot.
Did they? Okay, good. All right. I think we're ready to start the show. What do you guys all think? We should start off with a Halloween. Well, let's start with Tracy. Then we'll do the two Halloween movies, and then I'll close things out. So let's start with Tracy. Tracy, what have you been watching over there?
I've been watching The Manor by Axel Carolyn, and it stars Barbara Hershey, Jill Larson, and Bruce Davidson. And it is actually about a home, a retirement home, or basically it's a retirement home for elderly. And Barbara Hershey goes in because she had a stroke. So she's admitted to this place because her daughter can't take care of her. And she starts seeing things that aren't normal. And she sits with a group of people who befriend her and, try to tell her the proper way to act so things don't happen to her while she's, in this home or the manor.
Okay.
So, just strange things start happening. At night, she starts seeing this dark force, and she just thinks it's somebody from the staff. Either that or, someone is coming into her room, whether it's staff, patient. She doesn't know. She doesn't understand what it is. This is, her first time seeing something like that. So what this place does is they diagnose you for reasons that... I don't know how to say it without giving it up. This one was hard for me to do. One, I did it well, but this one.
If you don't say so yourself, Tracy.
What'd you say, Tim?
I didn't say anything. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did. I just didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. I know.
Now, did she encounter a mysterious entity, perhaps?
At first, she didn't know what it was. She thought, again, it was like a staff member. So the second time she seen it, she realized it was not what it was because it came closer to her and it was more vivid for her to see. So it was this tree-like creature, some tree entity, Tim.
A tree entity that's was rooted in Evil Dead.
No. Well, yeah. No, I guess.
No, don't respond to that. That's terrible.
What's terrible?
That was the worst.
So anyway, in the end of the movie, her grandson kind of comes to her aid because she starts seeing that everybody who's working for this manor is actually harming residents and hurting them and actually killing them.
But they're old people, right?
Huh?
They're all old people there?
Yeah.
So who cares?
It's a
They're only old people, Tracy.
Old people.
They're only old people, so go ahead and be horrible to them. No?
No, man. They're my elders. You shouldn't do that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm learning.
Me too, Tim. So her and her grandson decide to follow people who went outside of the doors, and it turns out they're just a bunch of witches who are killing residents to have 5 to 6 hours worth of youth every night. That's basically it.
Wow.
I almost turned it off. I really love Barbara Hershey, but this one was hard for me.
Not interesting or hard disturbing?
The only part that when it got into, I mean, it wasn't even, it was just like watching a sitcom until you got to the end, literally the end. And it was very short. You know,
not enough payoff for the buildup.
Yeah, no, not at all. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, when I found out that Barbara Hershey was making this movie, I was like, this must be a really good one because the last horror movie I remember her making was The Entity. You know, there have been some others, and I did a bunch of research on it because of a show that I'm doing later this week. But she was fantastic in The Entity. Did you've seen that one, Peggy? Or
yes, I have. That's a fantastic movie. Very unsettling.
Yeah. I'm sure you saw it because it's a ghosty.
What movie?
The Entity from like 81.
Really inappropriate ghost, yeah.
It's the Me Too ghost.
The Me Too ghost.
Yeah. It packs a wallop. It packs a wallop. So I thought if Barbara Hershey is taking on a horror movie, it's probably above, you know, the others. It's like George C. Scott picked really good horror movies when he was getting older.
I thought this would be good too. Now I have to say the ending was quite good because she had a choice. Mm-hmm. She could kill the demon that kills all the old people, or she could join the witches and have youth 5-6 hours a night. Which one did she choose? I'm going to have you guess.
Well, we've probably spoiled enough of the thing.
No. Because something comes out that tree when they all dancing around that fire. Oh, boy. I ain't going to say what.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the most part.
I think this one is free on Prime, right? On Amazon?
Yeah.
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 So they haven't really advertised this one as much as I would think they would have, particularly this time of year.
Right. I haven't. I literally was just scrolling through Amazon like, oh, Barbara Hershey.
Right.
Or let me try this one.
I did the same thing, Tracy. I did the same thing.
And I'm.
Well, isn't.
In the film, not her performance. But I was expecting more, not gore, but just more psychological thrills from this entity.
Well, and it looks like, is it Peter Davidson, Willard?
Bruce Davidson.
Why did I say Peter? Yeah, Bruce Davidson. So he's another good actor. I like his stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
It's a good story. It's just, it was boring for me. It shouldn't be in horror. Well, I mean, like, it shouldn't be in a horror. I don't know.
It sounds like it's time for us to get out the old grade book is what it sounds like. All right. So what are you going to grade The Manor?
C. She get a C.
A C. Hold on. There we go. There's the C. Okay, well, that's not fantastic.
No.
That is not awesome. All right.
Very good.
You know, those are the hardest to do these reviews of because it isn't so terrible that you can just bust on it the whole time. But it isn't
so good. You can formulate some little summary or plot to give them without exposing the ending. So this one was hard for me to do that.
All right. Well, thanks for, I guess, giving us a warning that if we go into it, we better have our patience ready for it.
Well, people will like it. Some won't. I did like it. It's just, it's not A-worthy.
Okay. All right. Well, next we're going to move on to Peggy. Let's see here. Let's change rooms. Going across the country, there's Peggy. And Peggy, what have you been watching?
Well, I'm going to be talking about Halloween 3. So I want to preface this, though. This has absolutely nothing to do with Michael Myers or the Halloween, that universe. So everybody get over it. Put your pants on and just let me talk about it, okay?
Now, people...
And I'll explain... Kind of what they were trying to do, because I actually have the DVD of this, and I watched the documentary that was at the end of it.
Oh, excellent.
To get a little more information about it. But so basically, and I mean, this did come out in the 80s, but I'll try not to give away too much, just in case there's anyone out there who hasn't seen it, or like maybe they would like to look at it with a fresh perspective after hearing this. Just saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Anyway, it's basically about this company called Silver Shamrock Novelties that are selling all these Halloween masks, like so many of them, just trying to get everybody to buy them. But they obviously have a more nefarious purpose behind it. And what happens is the whole movie starts off with this guy out in the dark getting chased by who knows what, collapses, comes into the hospital, and almost like an hour later, he's murdered. So what happens is his daughter comes in, she's trying to figure out what the hell happened to my dad. The doctor who was on duty, he's trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So they kind of hook up, do their own investigation because, you know, as usual, it seems like the cops aren't getting anywhere with anything. The forensic investigation is all messed up or whatever. So they team up, try and figure out what does it have to do with the Silver Shamrock Company and can they stop whatever is going to be happening before it's absolutely too late. The history of this is... Someone, I can't remember who exactly came up with the idea originally. I think it may have been the director or maybe even John Carpenter, but they wanted to create every year around Halloween to create a standalone film. And then every film in itself could have as many spinoffs as they wanted. So it sounded like a pretty good money machine. You know what I mean? It's like you can come up with all this other stuff, but it has nothing to do with actually Michael Myers. I think they used the name just because they were making so much money.
Yes.
Off the franchise at this point.
Right.
But the problem is, even the director said, like, production dropped the ball, the film company dropped the ball, everybody involved with Halloween 3 dropped the ball in letting the consumers know this is not Mike Myers. This is a completely different thing that we're trying. I don't know why they used Halloween 3. That was really dumb. But nobody told anybody what was going on. So, of course, when it's released, it completely collapses. It's a total bomb. Everybody's pissed off because it's like, oh, shit. But that's what they were trying to do. So if you can separate it from the Michael Myers universe, right, it's actually a really great film.
Yeah,
I listed out like a bunch of good things because the pacing is really well done. It's actually kind of realistic. It starts October 23rd. To October 31st. But, you know, the guy comes into the hospital on the 23rd and dies, but, like, the investigation doesn't pick up again until 3 or 4 days later, because in real life, that's what would happen. You don't go, hey, go send these down to the lab, get them back to me in 8 hours. That's just not the way the world works. So it's super realistic in that sense, how they paced it, and it's, like, how they have to be really careful once they start realizing there's just creepy shit going on, and this company has control over the entire town where it's built. Everybody's watching. There's hidden, you know, like security cameras, which, you know, in the 80s was not really a big thing. Nowadays, you see cameras everywhere on every corner.
Right, right.
But this in this teeny little town in Northern California, seeing that they all have security cameras, they had a curfew. It's like everything was locked down in this little town. It was so creepy. And the way they had put it all together was just really well done. And they, at the end of the film, they keep showing the clock because Tom Atkins' character, who's the doctor, He's got, it's like everything's going to happen at 9 o'clock, the bad stuff. So it's 7:20 and he escapes. And then it's like 8:20 and then it's 8:26 and then it's 8:50. So every time he's checking his watch, you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Right.
So it really sucks the viewer into this great tension that's being built. With that, you know, so you're kind of, you know, cheering for the hero and you really want him to get everything done right. And the acting is top notch. What was his name? Dan O'Herlihy, who played the bad guy, Mr. Cochran. He was so, like, absolutely insidious and sinister. It was like he had a little Irish, because he's from Ireland. He has this little Irish smile on his face, but you knew behind that he was just like, I'm going to kill all you motherfuckers, and you're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
Isn't he the same guy that was RoboCop, the old man?
He was in RoboCop. Yeah. I looked up on IMDb. I mean, he was born in the early 1900s, so he has got a huge, you know, body of work before he even got to Halloween. So it was, the acting was top notch. The story was actually really interesting to me because at the end, we do get a little bit of that, hey, I'm the bad guy and I'm going to explain to you what I'm doing, but only a little bit. But they are discussing the history of Samhain, or it's people who don't know how to pronounce it, Samhain. And actually, it's historically accurate information about what life was like in the ancient Celtic lands and how they used, you know, Halloween or Samhain as their, you know, final harvest. It's the new end of the year, so their new year starts the next day. They made sacrifices and la, la, la. And I was so impressed when I was watching it this time because I forgot that he had done that and actually was giving accurate information. I'm like, holy shit, man, this was like, you know, 1980s. How did they already know that? I'm like, I was actually pretty impressed. And I think one of my favorite scenes is the very end when Tom Atkins' character is trying to get the whole thing to just completely stop. I won't tell you what happens. It's actually open to interpretation. People take one side or the other, but I still get goosebumps just watching him screaming into the telephone to try and get someone to help him to keep the bad thing from happening. So, you know, aside from, like, you know, there are some, like, cliche things. The character of Ellie is super annoying. She keeps calling her dad Papa. I don't know why, that chick. It's just very distracting, and she's not as well developed as the rest, I don't think. She's just kind of eye candy, you know what I mean?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I do have to say that, so. But other than just, like, these few little nitpicky things, I actually found a few fun facts that the director actually does the voiceover of the commercial for Silver Shamrock. That when it's doing the annoying song, he's like, hey, kids, don't forget
to... 6 more days till Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Well, yeah, that's actually based on London Bridges Falling Down, because it was in the public domain.
Right.
So they're like, it's kind of an annoying little song, so let's use that. And we make it, and of course, that's what people remember. It's a great hook.
I think so, too. Yeah.
He didn't sing it, but he did, like, the voiceover on the commercial itself, which I thought was pretty funny. But
right.
The secretary for Silver Shamrock, she was only in one scene. She was the voice of Gozer in Blockbuster. Oh. In Ghostbusters, yeah. I had to look her up. I'm like, why does she sound so familiar?
Wow.
Like, oh, she was Gozer. Okay, that's pretty cool. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. And there are some great kills. Very inventive and fun practical effects. Some of the CGI is obviously pretty dated because it's from the early 80s, but it actually still kind of works.
Was it CGI at that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's laser beams.
I think those are just opticals. I don't think they were computer generated for this.
It could be that. Yeah, it could be. I mean, how they did it, it does look a little cheesy. I'm not sure what the technology is, but the practical effects were better and more fun, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the effects with what the mask does are awesome.
Yes, that was actually one of my favorite kills. Yeah. Is when that, and that was one of the good parts of the film where the bad guy showed us what he was doing. He didn't just stand there and spout, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what the mask does, and this is what's going to happen. He's like, oh, you need a demonstration. So he shows it to the doctor character, and it's like, okay, that's how you do it. That's how you do it right. So I just, overall, I just, if people can just separate this from the Halloween universe and Mike Myers, I think they would have a better appreciation for it.
Well, and I think Tom Atkins is just, he's an underrated actor. He's so
And yeah, good. It's, I guess Deborah Hill, who was one of the producers, and she was the co-writer on the original Halloween, suggested him to play. And it's like, you know, he's not like what would be the typical good-looking guy, buff. You know, he was in his like mid or late 40s. When he started this, and it's, I don't know what the hell it is about Tom Atkins, man, but yeah, he can do like the sexy role, even though he doesn't look like a typical sexy Hollywood actor or whatever. I think he's super underrated. Super underrated.
I think a lot of guys that are like that pull it off a heck of a lot better than a lot of people who, you know, are atypical.
Now,
I agree.
We do have ace up our sleeve here. Mike was waiting for when I would say this. Mike has actually interviewed Tom Atkins.
Ooh.
So do you have any interesting anecdotes about that, Mike?
He politely told me that he doesn't like Mel Gibson.
Okay. Fair enough.
But Gary Busey was fine with it.
Interaction with him, I'm not sure. Because if he did, he would say the same thing. Well, he was very interesting and very down to earth. Of all the people I interviewed, I think he not only is one of the most talented, but he has done a lot of film, and not just a lot of film, but a lot of good films.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's,
I agree.
I don't know. He's just he's one that I'm glad I got to interview and glad I got to meet. So. He's a good dude. I believe he's going to be at Horror Hounds coming up. So if anybody's in the area, definitely go check Tom Atkins.
He also did for our old group. He did, I think, the best ID. I think I have it here. Come on. Here it goes.
This is Tom Atkins. Thrill me.
What are you doing?
You're listening to East Coast Horror Group.
Here it goes.
Don't go anywhere. I will find you. I know where you live. Yeah.
You left us, Tim.
Oh, you didn't hear that? You didn't hear all that? Oh, well, hopefully it went through on the machine. Oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries.
Okay. Yeah, but... I think he's underrated and really did a great job in this movie.
Yeah. The documentary thing on the DVD, like all the other actors were like, Tom Atkins was so down to earth. He was such a super nice guy, and he was very protective of his co-star because, you know, this was the first time she ever had done like a love scene or whatever. So I'm like, wow, very cool.
Okay. Well,
yes, I'm a dude. I will say that.
Yeah.
Do you think if they would have just called it Season of the Witch, or what were we being told? A candy, what was it? Candy Sacks is what the chat room is telling us originally in the movie was going to be called Candy Sack. Do you think it would have been a bigger film?
Not if it was called Candy Sacks, but I think if they just called it Season of the Witch,
I think it would have.
Because that explains everything. I mean, that is the story right there. So I think that it would have done much better. I don't know who made the decision on making it Halloween 3, but...
I go back and forth. I really do, because I think it would have made more money in the movie theaters.
Yeah,
I'm
for sure.
Not 100% sure we would still be talking about it today.
Well, and right now it's real trendy to either be totally pro Halloween 3 or totally shit on it. It's like, that's kind of like people are jumping on those bandwagons. And I remember when this first came out, I was like, I liked it, but I was like, what does this have to do with Halloween? I don't get it. And then the more I watched it as I got older and then learned what they were trying to do, I'm like, oh, so I just forget about Mike Myers and I just watch it as is. And I, every time I watch it, I love it even more. So
yeah,
people would give it a chance.
I agree. And I think it is one of the least viewed of the Halloween films because of that. People are like, oh, you don't want to watch that. And I always say, no, anything with Busta Rhymes and Halloween. That you don't want to watch. Yeah. Am I wrong about that?
Like the poster that you have sitting up there, you know, the orange sky with the three kids. The cinematography in this film is so well done.
Oh, yeah.
And that shot was like, at one point it was Halloween. You know, obviously the kids are walking along the hills and they have this gorgeous backdrop. I'm like, this is just absolutely stunning. And I'm like, why are people shitting on this film? Like,
I was going to mention that because he said you have the DVD. This movie doesn't look like it was shot in the 80s. It looks like it was shot like 3 weeks ago. I don't know what type of film stock they use, but it wasn't the typical grainy 80s stuff.
Yeah.
It's like high definition. It looks awesome. I don't know if they did a restoration or what.
I think so. I think the version I got is a Blu-ray. So yeah. I think they did do a little restoration on it.
It's freaking gorgeous. It just is.
You don't have to convince me. Okay. I know.
Well, sometimes I have to get it through, you know, over there. It is time now for some grading. If this thing opens up, there we go. I'm guessing I got my finger hovering. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to give it an A-. I only take a little bit off just because there are some like convenient story line, you know, story tropes and just some cliche stuff. But other than that, there's
the novelist. The novelist has to say, "Oh, I don't know about the story structure." You know, always picking on the poor story.
I got an itch on my forehead.
Honestly, that's right about where I would have put it too. It's a lot of fun. It's a great movie. I wish they would have called it something like Twilight Zone or something, because it reminds me of a Twilight Zone. And if they needed to have something to cash in on. Mike, you've seen this obviously a bunch of times too. What would you give it?
I would definitely give it an A. It's a great film, and anybody that gets hung up on the Halloween nonsense they deserve not to watch a good film.
Yeah, you're missing out on a great one. And though the next 2 days you are whistling that damn theme. Eight more days till Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. So that is kind of like the torture aspect of the show. All right. Speaking of torture, it's time for Mike. Mike. It's the best I can do. Mike, what are you watching over there?
So I decided to watch Halloween Kills, streaming on Peacock. You can also see this in theaters. We were talking pre-show that it made a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, a whole lot of people did see it in the theaters. It made $50 million or more, I think, this weekend. It's huge. They almost paid off. Jamie Lee Curtis did like 10 or 12 autographs. So it just about paid for those.
It's hard to get. So I want to, I usually go to IMDb to see what the synopsis of the film is. And it's great because it ties into what I was going to say about the trailer. The trailer gives you no clue of what you're about to watch. And just like the synopsis, it's basically the saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode continues in this next thrilling chapter. So they really did a good job, in my opinion, of shielding the plot of the film. And it's a plot that I did not see coming. And this is going to be a completely spoiler-free review. I'm not going to spoil a thing about this film because
awesome.
I want people to see it. So... again, it was a direction I did not see coming, but it was refreshing. I felt that we needed a little break from what we have been seeing, and they gave it to us. And especially because I was expecting more of the same, and then when they threw this in, I was pleasantly surprised. And with that, I want to say I found this film to be a fan service film. From characters... to actors that they brought in or brought back, I should say, and characters that they mentioned. The detail was superb. I thought they did a great job tying a ton of loose ends together for this new timeline, which is the original Halloween, then Halloween 2018, and Halloween Kills, then Halloween Ends, which is going to be a 4-year time jump from the end of Halloween Kills. I wanted to look a little bit at some of the criticisms of Halloween Kills after I watched the film and before I did this, and I just don't get it. Horror fans, I really don't understand them. I don't want to understand them. It's like they look for the smallest minute things, and that destroys a movie for them. And I just don't understand. I've never seen a perfect film in my lifetime. And I don't
know. Yes, you have. I've sat next to you when you were watching one.
It's Jaws, right?
Yeah.
Jaws?
Yeah. That's perfect. Just so you know.
So that's just kind of my soapbox about that. Like, I don't know what people want anymore. Because what Halloween Kills is what a slasher is supposed to be. It's pretty much the definition of it. A lot of people were talking about the amount that he kills. It's in the fucking title. It's Halloween Kills. So expect a lot of death. Again, this is a morphed Michael Myers. This is not the same Michael Myers from 1978. This is a guy that I think enjoys killing a little bit now. He sees the, I don't know, pleasure in it, but he sees something that wasn't there before. And again, he's really, really good at it. And I'm going to bring in the dreaded Rob Zombie Halloween version. But remember how brutal that Michael Myers is? It's just about the same. So if you were mad that he was that brutal in Rob Zombie, then be prepared to be mad that he's that brutal in Halloween Kills.
That scene right there with the firefighter, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually been one of the criticisms I have of this movie, is they let too many frames come out. I actually did not grab everything. I thought that scene was early enough in the film that I would use. They let out some, I don't know, somebody in their publicity department was putting out a lot more stuff than I think they should have. There were some things that I wish there weren't shots of, and I didn't use them myself. But I agree with Mike. I think the official people kind of held this under wraps pretty good.
The best they could, and
yeah,
I think the official trailer is kind of indicative of that. It's very general and broad, not giving too much. Well, it was basically the firefighter scene. They showed that, which those guys had zero chance, and it was entertaining to watch.
It was kung fu fighting with Michael Myers. Kung fu fighting.
I thought they blended the old Halloween with the new Halloween very well.
It's a lot better than like the Terminator films did.
Yes, the story. It's like someone actually sat down and said, let's make this story make sense instead of rushing it through and making it trash. And I appreciate that, because I've said many times on the show that I think horror films are lacking in good writing. And I think this film is showing that someone sat down and really thought this through. And I think it worked really, really well. Now, there's a character in the film that detracted me a little bit, and that's Anthony Michael Hall. Won't say his character.
Yeah.
Found kind of fucking annoying, to be honest with you. I did not want to get behind this person. I wanted to see him get hit by a bus, actually.
I didn't understand his motives. It just seemed like you're kind of late to the party, pal. Was the way I felt about it. Like, now you're mad?
About time, and now he just stood up. I don't know, but maybe if it was a different actor, I don't think it should have been. Never mind, I'm not even going to say that. I just think it was a miscast. I don't know. I just, again, would have rather seen him get hit by a bus. That's really one of the...
Well, he's one of the... there's a number of ways that people die in this film. A bus kill, I don't think, occurs. So that would have been something outside. I also saw this film. And, you know, you brought up my favorite whipping boy in the Halloween movies is Rob Zombie's Halloween films. And I didn't have a problem with Michael Myers being brutal. I had a problem with them spoiling Michael Myers by saying, oh, he has this motive and this is what he does. This Michael Myers in Halloween Kills is still mysterious. You still get the mystery, right?
They're almost laying it away from, this isn't really a spoiler, but it's not really Laurie, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That it's might just not
kills.
What's that?
It's just kills, no gore.
Oh no, there's a lot of gore.
No, this is This is not Halloween 4. Halloween 4 was not very gory. This movie makes up for that one.
I just misunderstood him, that's all.
Yeah.
That's just my clarifications too.
I'm not gonna say since Peggy just reviewed Halloween 3. The director throws a little Easter egg in there for Halloween 3. I felt was perfect.
I think I missed that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll tell you, I was so deep on this movie that I don't think I was seeing details. I was seeing all the flourishes. I absolutely loved what they did with the music in this thing because I don't think this is a spoiler that they flash back to 1978.
Yeah.
And the score is the 1978 score with all the synthesizer and all the ding, you know, and all that stuff. I forgot how spooky that damn score is. Hearing it in its natural state, because, of course, they've been updating it over the years. Hearing it like that, I'm actually getting chills just describing it. It's just so perfect. And I felt the thing that they really got in this movie, which has been missing in a lot of the Halloween sequels, not all of them, but in some of them, is... You get the feel of the autumn crisp air. You see the colored leaves on the ground, and it just feels kind of spooky and a little quiet while all this horrible shit is happening. Mm-hmm. And this movie captured that like the first one, in my opinion.
I totally agree with you. I think the reason why I always watch Halloween on Halloween is it just... It's a movie that feels like Halloween, and I don't know if that makes sense or not. But it does.
Yeah, I liked
movies the... make, you know, our Christmas movies.
But yeah, if you watch Tim, definitely have to watch a little closer for the Halloween 3 nod.
Oh, I plan to watch this one again, actually.
It's so well done.
Yeah, now... Oh, how do you feel about this one compared to 2018? Because I think this one is just like a half a step behind 2018, but I really liked it.
Yeah, I really like them both kind of equal.
Okay.
I think this is the next step. Again, a step I didn't see coming, and I enjoyed that. I would put them, like I said, pretty much equal, but I like that this one... focus more on Michael and his just need to kill, basically.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty interesting. And I was a big fan of the ending.
Well, Mike, I can't wait until we're off the air to discuss this more with all the spoilers and everything. But I'm guessing this is going to get a fairly good grade. Are you ready to give the grade, or you have more items?
Wait, please, me.
What's up?
What do you think, Mike, about, was PJ Souls in this one?
I don't think I saw.
No, she was on the screen at one point, but it was the young PJ Souls.
Gotcha.
I did see her like in a news report or something where they were talking about, you know, Michael having a body count in the past.
Yeah. Okay.
She's so sweet.
I would love to see her team up with Jamie Lee in the third one. Let's love it. Yeah. Would be fantastic.
That would be good.
She died in the first one, though. It's her corpse coming back.
Yeah. Possible.
Don't you know you only live twice? You only live twice, man. That's all you got to do. That worked for the James Bond movie. Look how long they've gone since the fourth film. Oh, yeah. See?
We never died.
If Jamie Lee Curtis makes too much trouble, they recast Laurie Strode as PJ Souls. That would be awesome. That would be so great. Okay. Grading time, Mike, or you got more?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Good, I'm ready.
Okay, it's supposed to be coming. There it goes.
Yeah, so minus Anthony Michael Hall, I give this an A.
Wow.
Big slasher.
Wow.
Fun. Good time.
Mike, you don't give out the A's too easy. You do not give those out easy.
I've ever seen him give.
No, what did you have the other day where you gave it a really high score? It was, it 2 weeks ago?
Was it on the last show?
I think it was.
I did a Netflix movie and I wasn't too kind to it.
Yeah, no, it was one more back, I think. What was it? There was something where I was like, did somebody possess Exler? I was shocked.
I gave Malignant an A+. Yeah.
That's what it was. It was Malignant. But I think that one's worth it too. For those that are looking for good Halloween movies, I think Malignant and Halloween Kills would be a great double feature.
I do have to say one more thing about the film. I cannot wait till Halloween Ends comes out. Watch that. Watch all four.
When are they saying that's going to come out?
It's next year, right?
Yeah, next Halloween. Yeah.
Really? That quickly? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's already done. They've both been done.
Okay. Okay.
20 and 2021, but then COVID, so they moved it back a year for each.
Right. Well, it sounds like that was the right choice for them for Halloween Kills. They printed some money this weekend. All right. Well, it is now my turn, and I did not do a Halloween film. Wasn't expecting that it was going to become a Halloween show. But
yeah, a Halloween movie either.
Yeah.
Right. But I did Cat's Eye, and I did it for a very specific reason on Dead on the Bases. We were doing Digstown, and which stars James Woods. And when I was looking into James Woods, of course I knew about Videodrome, but I had totally forgotten he was a part of this film. And I was like, you know, I don't think I've ever watched this movie. So I grabbed it. And then I was actually contemplating watching it. And then Peggy goes and writes an article that says, hey, Cat's Eye, great anthology movie. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to watch this now. And it was written by Stephen King. I think this is one of the first, like, actual scripts that he wrote, not where it was an adaption, where he just wrote the script. It's interesting, right at the beginning, they have the cat being chased by Cujo and is nearly run over by Christine, you know, the car. When I saw that sequence, and later on they referenced the Dead Zone, somebody's reading Pet Cemetery at some point in here. I'm like, was this movie actually the start of all that Castle Rock theory stuff that you hear? I don't know, but I thought it was interesting. There are three actual stories in this. There's not really a framing story. It's like the cat kind of walks in and out of these stories, but it's, there's not like the framing story that you're used to getting. The first story is about Quitters Inc., which is a company that helps you stop smoking cigarettes. And the way that happens, James Wood is the smoker, and Al King, comedian Al King, is the guy at Quitters Inc. And basically the way they get you to stop smoking is they threaten your life if you smoke, kind of like the mafia. Here's the thing. I think Stephen King was trying to be funny here, and I'm not sure it worked all the time. And I think they thought by hiring Al King, oh, he'll figure it out. And I don't know that he did. And it's kind of a weird feel to the whole story. So when that one ended, I was like, okay, I hope the other ones are better. The next one starts in a casino in Atlantic City. And it's your typical, like, Twilight Zone. You've seen it in Tales of the Crypt. I mean, every anthology series worth its salt in the horror genre has had that wagering story where somebody's a degenerate gambler and will bet on anything. And in this case, he captures a guy that's been making a cockhold out of him, and played by Robert Hayes of Airplane fame. And he basically says, you can keep my wife if you go out on the ledge of this very high building that they're on and you make it all the way around. And of course, the guy making the wager does not play fair. He does everything he can to try to knock the guy off the ledge. One of my favorite moments in this part is at one point, the guy making the wager says, hey, if you win, you get the girl, you get the watch, you get everything. Now, does anybody know what that reference is? Because I'm a huge fan of this particular reference. None of you have heard of this? Okay. There was a very short, like, two-episode miniseries that Robert Hayes was in right about the time this movie came out. I would say 82, 83, called The Girl, The Gold Watch, and Everything. And it's a time-stopping story where this guy gets a mysterious gold watch. He can hit the button, and he stops time for 1 minute. The watch still shows the second hand going, but the world stops time. And it's, I remember it from my childhood. I rewatched it recently. It doesn't age well. In fact, it's pretty misogynistic, but it was great back in the day, and I really enjoyed it. So I thought it was an interesting illusion because, as you guys just referenced, nobody remembers this thing anymore. This has been lost to time. I had to find it on some, like, YouTuber put pieces of the movie, and I pieced it back together to watch it. I was surprised about the illusion. I will say I've watched a lot of movies that play with your fear of heights. And as corny as this one was, you know, by having Robert Hayes and all that, it actually if you got a fear of heights, there's a couple things that are pretty effective in here. So that one, I would say of the three, that would have been my favorite. In the last story, they have Peter Naughton and Drew Barrymore in it. Drew is about the age she was in E.T. when this was made. So this is little Drew. And it's about a killer troll that is terrifying little Drew Barrymore. I gotta tell you, I think the intention was that was going to be the one that everybody leaves the movie theater talking about, and wow, was that great. I didn't like it. I thought it was a dud. The effects were actually pretty good for 85, but the effects aren't the movie. So
it reminded me of a Fraggle Rock person.
Yeah, I would recommend this movie to people for The Ledge. I can't really recommend the other two, but I thought The Ledge was really, really strong. So I'm going to go right to my grade on this one.
Wow, that's quick, Tim.
Well, I'm watching the clock, too. And I'm going to give it a B+.
Okay.
Hey, you know, it's good for watching, and, you know, it's Stephen King, so it's an important time in his career that it was made, so it's got some historical value. But as far as the execution, it's pretty hammy. It just isn't serious enough to really be with the good Stephen King stuff that was out there. Okay, so we have gotten to the end of the show, and that means we have lots of promos to do. We're going to start. Come on. There we go. With otherworldlyculture.com, of course. We got lots of great stuff out there for you to see out on our website, and we hope you all give it a look. And then, of course, we have Peggy's website, which is themonkeyisin.com, and we put a link out in the chat. You can check out all your works are out there, right? You can link to all your books and articles and everything right in one spot. So I highly recommend this website. Also, we have our friend, Tracy, you have your website, and I like to suggest people, because whenever we have an actress or a producer on here, also click on her IMDb page. I put it out there in the chat for you. Click on that, you know, 3-4 times a day. Good way to go. Get that buzz going.
With a couple production companies on some scripts, I'm just waiting for the scripts to come in hand, and I am so anxious. Yay!
Are they?
I know, you guys.
Are they great horror movies, or can you not even tell us that?
It is. They won't tell me. They're like, I'm not telling you anything.
Ooh, well,
I like that.
That's like probably a good idea, because you spoiled the hell out of your movie here at the beginning. So. And we did talk a little bit about this. Horror Realm is coming.
Yeah.
That is coming.
Melissa's going to be there. I got to come. Peggy and Felissa. Yep. Oh, my God.
Okay, God. It's going to be crazy. November 19th through the 21st. I think I got everybody on here now. Mike, can you check me? Did I get everybody?
OhioFanFest.com.
Ohio Fan Fest, we start pushing after Horror Realm, Doc. Horror Realm, buddy. That's coming soon.
That's okay. We just got it in there anyway.
You sneaked it in. You. Always pulling things like that. You know, I actually just thought of how we can start doing it. We'll talk after the show. Dead on the Bases is coming to everybody on Thursday. This week, we are doing the movies Trick or Treat, the 2018 film. And poor little scaredy cat Jeff is going to watch that. And, oh my God, what am I watching? I forgot what movie I watched this week. Holy cow, that's bad. I can't remember. Jeff, do you remember what movie I'm supposed to be watching? Hoosiers, that's right. I watched Hoosiers. And there's actually Barbara Hershey is in that one. That's why I forgot. I got all confused. And Horror Realm again, just a reminder, that's coming in only 30 days, everybody. 30 days. Yep. So get yourself ready for that. And then once you're done with that, you get yourself ready for Ohio Fan Fest.
Where in Ohio is it?
It's right outside of Youngstown.
Okay.
Cleveland.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump from wherever you are in the United States. Pretty centrally located.
Right in the middle.
right in the middle. Right there. It would be the navel.
Yeah, maybe I'm from California.
Yeah, right.
A little bit longer jump and a skip.
Well, you know, we're not counting anything to the west of the mountains because the next time they get an earthquake, that's going right into the drink.
See you later.
Yeah, they'll be goners. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody, particularly our guests and all of our panelists. Thanks so much for coming on the show. And you can reach any of them by typing their first name and then at otherworldlyculture.com. And you can get a hold of them. Or you can send them to me, and I'll send them along. So you never have to worry about getting a hold of our folks. All of us here at Otherworldly Culture would like to wish you the best Halloween ever. Have a lot of fun, stay safe, and enjoy the season. When you aim at horror, make sure you are dead on. See you next time, everybody.
Otherworldlyculture.com.
And there is dancing. You guys don't hear the music at all, do you? You don't hear the music. There we go. We'll get that fixed. Thank you, everybody, that came out live for the show. We really appreciate it. We had a very busy chat room.
Good.